change. That would be interesting too. So whatever works. I just like to see us build up and have at least, you know, four plus me in here each day to keep my interest level in it. And if we build up more, that's fine. But what I'll do is open my room, say, an hour earlier. And that way, if someone should happen in that really gets what we're about, or, you know, has some sort of advanced awareness or what have you, I'd say, oh, by the way, every day we open up the other room. Here's the lock number, and you're welcome to join us. And that way we can add new people. That's why I wanted the room name showing up on the room list, because those people who do know the room might come in the music room after and say, hey, what was that other room that had your name on it? And you say, well, you know, 5 days a week, question and answer dialogue in the room, and that might get us some better quality people interested. Because there's nothing like being in a locked room where nobody's going to come in and bug you.
I think it's a good idea. I'm sorry I spoke up. DC, you need to go to bed. I do think it's a really good idea. I'm glad that we're doing it. So. And I do have some recording software, only I'm not sure how clear it'll be when I record it. I tried to yesterday a little bit, and it was really, it wasn't very loud, but I can probably... Oh, he does? Okay. Well, then we're just waiting for him.
Well, he may not always be in the room, so, I mean, if we can get yours perfected, you could always send the file to him to post afterwards. But, you know, I don't expect people... I'm going to open it 5 days a week. I don't expect everyone to always be here. But I think once you... get in the zone for a couple hours, you're going to find out you're going to want to be here, because this is where it's going to happen. So that's my hope anyways. Like I said, if the interest level is just not there, I've got other things I'd rather do with my time. I don't mean to always come across that arrogant or whatever the word is, but I'm not doing this for me. So if you guys want it, then you have to create it, and I mean that, because I don't need to do this. I'm not going to learn anything from this that I can't learn in my own contemplation, so I'm doing it for you. So respect that, and at least show up and participate. That's all I ask. This is one of those things that over the period of the winter time, as people are indoors more, could become something really special. So, you know, we're just in the beginning things on it. I'll be patient, and we'll see what happens. But this is the kind of thing that could become really special. You've got to figure that there are good people in those other rooms that are hungry and thirsty for something like this, you know? So let's hope.
Well, I did your homework and went into a room yesterday, and I completely failed. They were cussing each other out and just, you know, just being really, really naked. Well, there was this woman in there, and she wanted a reading, and she was having a hard time, and, you know, and I could, but, you know, she was in this relationship, and I was just like, if you're having these kinds of issues in the relationship, then obviously you don't need to be in it. But they were, it was so tempting. It was just, they were just cussing each other out and being so mean and disrespectful. And I didn't respond to them. I just responded to the woman that was having problems. But God, I wanted to jump on the mic and tell them to stop it.
Now, your language. God, I wanted to jump on the mic, and this is the whole point of the exercise. You did not want to jump on the mic. The body did. That's what you wanted to feel, is that separation. You wanted to feel. point of it. You want to feel that jump that you did not initiate, to become aware that there is another consciousness there besides just you. And that separation will just get, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger over time, the more and more you do this sort of thing. It's another rule which I broke the other day, and I really paid for it. I have a rule that I do not offer unsolicited advice. So this is the same thing you can do when you're in a room, because we have this tendency to, you know, since we know the answer, we want to give them the answer. Sit on your hands. Even if someone else has given them advice which is completely wrong, sit on your hands. And this is not about giving someone boyfriend advice. We don't need to be doing that unless you're getting paid for it. However, you don't need to be doing it. So it's more about experiencing the body's reaction to what you allow it to do or not do. And that's a big time thing that I think everybody can add to their lives, is that do not offer unsolicited advice. If no one is asking you particularly, don't offer advice. That's a new habit to learn. Most times when we do offer unsolicited advice, it comes back to haunt us. So, especially in rooms where everybody's got an opinion what the right answer is.
Yeah, I did. And my body was just screaming, and it was just really bad. But I'll do, I'll work on it sitting on my hands.
Well, and that's the idea. You wanted to scream. That's maybe one you want to go back to. You want it to scream. That's the more and more experience that the self, welcome Green, or Scott, the more and more experience that the self gets at seeing the body doing the jumping, that separation, the more and more that happens, the more and more awake you're going to become. You're creating something, in other words, by making that space. And those chat rooms are just like a petri dish. It's a place where the experiment can happen. It is really ripe for it, you know? So the more and more that you put yourself in that position and feel the body's reaction, the more and more awake you're going to become, because you're creating something there. You're creating separation. Let me lock the mic down for a second. Scott, you weren't in the room yesterday, or when we had a homework assignment, which I would like to tell you about, and I hope that you will do. I want people to go into a chat room that they know is going to upset them, that they know is going to piss them off, or that they know that they're far more aware than the people that are in it. And when you get that urge to type or mic up, I want you to sit on your hands and feel your body's reaction. And I want this to be a regular thing, something that you do a lot. Not only that, but in conversations that you have at your school, where you work, where you might normally butt in to give advice or what have you, bite your tongue and watch your body's reaction. A new one I want everybody to try to stick to is to not offer unsolicited advice. In other words, unless someone says, Scott, what's your opinion on this? Unless they do that, I want you to learn to bite your tongue. And the whole point of it is to experience the body's reaction separate from yourself. And especially, another good one, Scott, is to watch sports, when you're watching sports, your body gets right into it, and there's all these, you know, clenching fists inside of your gut, especially if your team's losing. And to feel that, to experience it. And the more and more you feel that and experience it and acknowledge that that's not you, because it will become a very separate feeling, the more and more that you acknowledge that that is not you, something where you'll catch more subtler things happening. You'll catch more subtler ways that the body sneaks into your present moment and kind of, you know, leads you by a leash into places you don't want to go. But the idea is the more you create it, the more aware you'll become of the body and how it subtly influences you, the self, on a day-to-day basis. And since you weren't in here, I just want to say, I want this to be a mic-only room. And the reason is because I really want to be present and feel your energies and want you to feel mine. And when I'm talking, if someone types, I see out of the corner of my eye, the text starts moving, and it's just enough of a window. What's that? What's that over there? What are they typing? You know, and all of a sudden I've lost that train of thought, or I've lost that connection that I've got. So let's get in the habit. Since we don't have to worry about anybody coming in the room unless they've been invited, then easy, breezy, free in here. You know, you can be a lot more calmer. You can take down your walls and masks. You're amongst friends. Even if you don't like each other, you're amongst friends. What you don't like each other about each other is your bodies, not you. You strip away the bodies and you've got five pretty extraordinary people in the room right now. So let's start building on that.
I have a question. How long do I have to sit in the room? Because like yesterday, they were just being vicious and calling each other names, and it was really, really bad. And like, at a certain point, like, I didn't anymore. And it was, the body was just, it was really, really, really bad. So how long of a time do I have to sit in the room and witness that crap?
See, that's the whole point. You're not witnessing your body. You're witnessing them being hateful and ugly and what have you, what have you. I want you witnessing your body. And you're not being put through it, because the self, believe me, is way a hell above that. You're not being put through it. The body is being put through it. And the more and more you put your body through it, again, the quicker you're going to become awake. I'm surprised that I haven't offered up this particular exercise before, because I think it's one of the fastest ways to have the experience of a separate consciousness, that separate body consciousness. And again, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to create something. The only way you can create that separation is by experiencing it. You, the self, have to know, not conceive. You've got to know that that is not you. And the more and more you experience that, the more and more energy you're putting out to the universe, to whatever, saying, this is me witnessing the body doing that. And the more, it's like you're digging a groove, you know, a new behavioral pattern or what have you. So the more energy and time and whatever you give it, the better off you are. If it's uncomfortable, wonderful. You'll know you're awake, Ahava, when you can go in the room and there is no discomfort. If you're getting that much discomfort, you're not awake. So that means there's still more to work on. But you'll know when you're awake and go in any room, and you'll just laugh. It's just funny. These are children on stages throwing mud at each other. It's not even real. Their bodies are all getting fired up, and the bodies are all getting angry, and it's not even real. You're looking at bodies fighting with bodies, brains fighting with brains. You're not looking at the self at all.
Yeah, I was thinking thinking the same thing with, just to take that exercise one step further, is like, if you get in an anxious situation, your body, or a situation that causes you anxiety, your body wants to, run away from it. So, the thing you should be doing is to get up there and just get up there and do it. Yeah. And do the exact opposite of what your body's telling you to do, or something like that.
Challenge it, blow it up, make it as absurd. I mean, you guys have been watching me for 18 months, some of you. Make it as absurd as you can. Make it as big of a caricature and cartoon as you can. And this is how the awakening process happens, is by witnessing. By witnessing what you are and what belongs to you and what does not belong to you. And the more and more you identify with what belongs to you, the quicker the process is. So, I can't give you the answer, however, how long do you spend in the room. It doesn't matter. I mean, going if you just get bored or stupid or silly, whatever, walk away, open your room, a little later on, try it again. You don't have a television, but situations, Curtis was bringing it up earlier, you know, if you have a certain time of the day when you get real nervous about going shopping, go shopping at that time. It's all about experimenting, experiencing, and evolving.
It is quite a challenge. I'm really going to have to sit on my hands, and it's just really difficult. This is a difficult homework assignment. I failed miserably yesterday.
I've been doing it for years. I mean, years. I've been doing this ever since I first get in a chat room 10 years ago. Just getting so pissed off and frazzled and not being able to sleep hours, still going over that conversation and how dare that son of a bitch say this, or how dare that asshole do that, you know? And it's just, when you finally catch it, when you finally catch, wait a minute, this monologue isn't even me, it's my listening to my brain have a monologue. The moment you catch it, it's worth the price of admission to that room. Every single time you catch it, it's worth it. So yesterday you had a bad day. It was your first time trying it. I mean, at least you know it is ripe. It is a ripe classroom to go in other chat rooms and just blow it up. You know, blow it up as big as you can. If it's really, really quiet, get in there and type something and be a bitch and just watch them jump your bones and watch your body fight it. Watch your body want to type something. Or if you really want a good test, if you got a real idiot typing something, agree with everything I say. Suddenly become their biggest, chiggest brown nose, you know. I mean, enjoy it. Have some fun with it. It is so funny when you finally get that whole monologue separate from you and get to realize how much of your life you've been asleep, not just the 8 hours, but the whole damn thing. I mean, like I said, the end result is so worth the effort. And I can still go in rooms, and if I'm feeling a little, if I'm sick, if my body's tired, if I've had a long day, if I'm having money problems, I can go in a room and my brain can catch me off guard. It's so sneaky and so subtle how it works. And before you know it, you're sitting there typing like a madman, having a knockdown, drag-out fight with someone. And I just break up laughing when I catch my body doing that, when I catch myself doing that. And then I'll completely piss my body off by starting to apologize. apologize to the other person, starting to say, I don't, you're right, you know, I'm wrong. I realize that you're right now, and I can't believe I couldn't see that, and thank you so much. In the meantime, your brain is yelling, no, you're not, no, he's not right, you asshole, key down, have fun with it. It's your brain, after all. You should be able to have fun with it. It's played you for how many ever decades. Why shouldn't you be able to play it?
Yeah, if nothing else, at least Pal Talk is a safe place to practice. I mean, where you can practice in kind of the safety of your own little environment or whatever. So, but then to take it to the next level would be to practice with your, you know, in just your daily life. But yeah, Pal Talk's a good, good safe place to practice. I would, at least it seems to me like it.
Well, if I was thinking when you were talking, then I was thinking about meetings with other spiritual people that I go to, and I find it extraordinarily hard to be in the same room as some of the discussions that go on. And often my only way of coping really is to close my eyes, and that just puts sufficient distance between me and what's going on to be able to recenter myself.
That is a good title to put down for this particular conversation, should anybody want to write about it. I really like that. Experiment, experience, evolve.
Yeah, it's not, some of the stuff, it sounds kind of stupid, but but it's like the little, I've noticed it's like the little things kind of add up. I don't know if that makes sense. You know, it's not like you have to do a real big elaborate experiment. It's just kind of just little daily little stuff that you do that you know in your daily life that you know adds up over time, I guess.
Being the self moments, the more and more you add to those moments, suddenly you're the body a lot less than you're the self, and then you pass that 50% mark, and once you pass the 50%, it is so, it's like a snowball going downhill. It's so exponentially quick how fast you wake up. You just got to get more and more of the self into the day, into your day. It's your day, but you're allowing it to be the body's day.
Yeah, it seems like the hard part is kind of finding that starting point, or and it's just the same thing with, you know, with writing that story I'm working on. It's hard to find, you know, that starting point, and you know, you tend to kind of get frustrated with it, but I think, you know, you can, the self has to kind of make the keep going on it, with it, and fight off the body's frustration or the mind's frustration. And, but the hard part is finding that starting point. And I think, you know, like the room's a good place to start, and just the Pal Talk in general is a good starting point anyway. And so.
See, that's a great example, Curtis, of me not remembering the process. It just doesn't dawn on me that you would need a starting point, because for me, I'm always awake. So I would have to have a starting point to remember to be asleep. So this is something that really, that's a good topic. See, this is one reason why I think opening this room 5 times a week will be so important, is you guys can let me know where you are at, because I just don't remember any of that. I'll contemplate on that, you know, as far as how do you make yourself mindful, in other words, how do you set aside a routine, or how can you catch yourself, you know, if I see the color purple, then I'll try to be mindful. What can you do to make yourself mindful? One of the things I had suggested was that piece of jewelry that you would wear, and every time you touched it, that it would bring you back to the present moment. So I don't know the answer to that, but maybe you guys can help each other on that too. Scott, are you there? I want to hear you on the mic, man.
Catching yourself is important. I do think that the meditation I do in the mornings is very helpful. If I can set aside an hour and just meditate in the mornings, very little of that is meditation. It's just kind of clearing a space so that I can be mindful more easily the rest of the day. And then it's constantly moving back to being mindful and losing it and getting involved in thoughts and then moving back to being mindful again.
Well, I think this is like something he's not really talking about meditation sense, more like being mindful about, you know, the separation between the body and or the body and the brain and the self. I think that that's what he was talking about, that is that separation, or is being mindful of that separation, which one is in control, is whether you're in control or whether your body's in control.
what I'm doing at the moment is quite interesting. I recognize about myself that I get lost in thoughts and I dip out into awareness. So what I'm seeking to do at the moment is to become lost in awareness and just occasionally dip into thoughts. And I'm having some success with that approach because it's like a sort of a catch-me game, particularly when I'm walking, focusing on the sensation of my feet hitting the ground. So I walk more slowly and at a different rhythm than I would if I was walking unconsciously. I think that helps a great deal to alter the rhythm of the unconscious ways and habits of doing things, to make them more obvious. Can't put it any other way.
One thing I do vaguely remember back when I was starting was that I would force myself to be present and just try to hold that and hold it and hold it as long as I could. And what I noticed is that my body would get very tired. Is that anybody else ever noticed? Where when you have in those present, when you're in the present moment, if you try to hold it or force it, you actually make the body very tired. Or am I the only one to ever notice that?
No, that's very true for me. I can wear myself out. I can wear my body brain out. Not myself, of course. I can wear my body brain out very quickly by forcing that active awareness. And it does get better as I become more practiced at it. That makes a lot of
sense. I'm not at a point where I'm forcing myself to be present. It's happening like on its own. I haven't really sat down and focused on being fully present. I know that's something that I have to work on. One of the things that I will work on is meditation. But I haven't actually done it forcibly because it's just kind of like happening on its own.
Has brought that up too, where a lot of it for him is just happening naturally, and that's what should be happening. It should be happening naturally because you're not really doing anything. Your evolving happens to you, not by you. Really, all you do when you do anything is you're trying to become aware of what your awareness is or how much it's expanded, how much it's evolved. It's 4:54 and we're going to try to stick as much as we can to that 3 to 5 o'clock daily. So I'm going to let it end sort of in this area, but I want to bring up that my bouncing Scott from the room is not a Scott is not allowed back in the room kind of thing. I want people, when they are going to be sidestepped or they're busy doing something else, I want you to type into the room away from keyboard for a second. That way we know, all of us know, who's in the room and who's not in the room at any given time. So when I talk to him, it's not okay to be in the room by name only. It's just not okay. Unless you have something, you know, the phone rings, then you can say, away from keyboard, I'm on the phone. Otherwise, it's not okay to just be half-assed. Thanks. I don't expect anybody answering PMs or IMs while we're in the room. You're busy. If anybody IMs or PMs with you, you're busy. I want your full attention. That way that I can tell exactly where you're at, then I'll know exactly what to say to help you. So I think we did really cool. If this is an indication of where this is going to go, I think this was pretty cool, because this is our first time working together like this, and I really enjoyed it. And I think if we keep it to a two-hour thing, then we won't burn ourselves out on it. In other words, you'll look forward to the next time because there's something you wanted to say or there was a question you didn't get to answer. I would say get in the habit of having a notebook nearby, so that if a question comes up and the conversation goes away from that question, have that question written down so that you can ask it later. And any other comments or advice, you guys, speak up. Let me know what you think.
I'll put that bit about the no IMs and AFKs in the header of the room, I think. That's important. People are reminded of that on the way in.
I also see that, I think that, you know, we can trust each other over a period of time. I also see that with me, I've got to be able to type stuff into the room as you're talking. As I'm talking, maybe you guys try to be in the habit of not typing in the room so that I can stay on that connection with you. But when you talk, stuff will pop up, and I'm present. I have no way of remembering any of this stuff, and I don't want to sit writing in a notebook because I'm not going to be paying attention to you. So I just really quickly type it and hit enter. And that makes it easy for me to go back and read. Sorry, that makes it easy for me to go back, read what I've typed, and be able to elaborate on it. It's kind of like putting notes down, so hopefully that won't bother people when they're talking. If it does, just let me know, and maybe I can put up a notepad or something.
No, I think that feedback while we're talking, I think that's a good thing, because you can answer questions and give us a different perspective as far as maybe seeing something, or you commenting on something that we haven't seen before. So I think it's good that you type in the room while we're, while we're asking questions and that kind of thing, because I got a great deal.
I like the idea of this room as just because it helps you kind of just think about the process a little bit more, and exactly what's going on. Yeah, and it helps to kind of, since we've been doing this for a year and a half, there's stuff going on that is happening, but maybe we just don't know exactly what it is, or can't put it into the language. And that's what I've been finding over the last couple of weeks, is that stuff is happening. It's just, personally, I don't have the language to explain it, but just talking it through like this kind of maybe triggers some stuff that wouldn't be going on in the room with the music or whatever.
That was what was key to this for me, as an offering to all of you, is that this way we can flesh it out. It desperately does need to be fleshed out, but I'm not a long, I don't know the right word, I'm not a long format writer. I can't write a book, and if I were to write the book, let's face it, it would be more than one volume. And that's just not my thing. I'm a poetry writer. It's really, even the essays are very difficult for me to write, because I realized I could should say this, I could say that, I should say this, I should say that. But before you're done, you've got a 40-50 paragraph essay that nobody's going to want to sit and read that much, you know? So to me, if we can figure out a way to encapsulate what we're doing these 2 hours a day as either an essay or a response to a particular essay that's up there, or as a standalone post, you know, what is today, 11/19/2011 chat, topic was, you know, and then have it as a recording or something along, I think it would really help a lot of people. I'm a little adverse to posting these without editing them, only because sometimes the next day or something, I don't want them to listen to today's and not hear tomorrow's, because I want them to get as much of the truth as possible. I like to edit things, so I don't know how we can do this and make it work. Otherwise, than someone stepping up to volunteer that amount of time and effort, and I know that's a lot to ask of anybody, but you know, to me, it would be interesting to make a post, you know, 11/19/11 chat, and then just do a brief synopsis of what the chat was about, and either add the audio thing to it or add a transcript of some sort that's edited. But I don't know how you there's programs out there I know that can print out what's being said, like Dragon or something like that. I would rather have a printout and then I could edit it to what was important. If anybody's got any ideas on that.
Well, I was just going to say, it's going to be hard, at least for me, to even write an essay about it, because it's like, even my retention of what this last hour or so is, I don't really have any retention of what was going on, really. But I feel like it was beneficial at the same time.
What ends up happening, the way the self works with awareness, Curtis, and well, the other of you too, the difference between the self's awareness and the brain's awareness is that the brain's got memory. With the self, it's just stored. So whatever you listen to during the conference later on, you may be thinking or contemplating or asking yourself a question, and the answer just pops up. That's how you know that, you know, that's how you know that you've retained it, is if you start to contemplate on the subject matter that we've been talking about, what is important will pop up. And, I mean, it's stored in your own awareness. That's one of those odd little things, too, that I've forgotten about. There is a huge difference between the way you recall things with the brain and the way the self uses the brain, because when the self uses the brain, you ask a question, the answer pops up into your consciousness. When you're using the brain, you just remember. And I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. It's a real subtle difference, but it's an important difference, because the skewed can be wrong, but the self's knowing is always, you know, right on. I don't know if that makes any sense. This is one of those areas where there's not really a language for it, because there's really not an awareness of it in general.
Yeah, it's almost like the brain wants it instantaneously, but the self it takes something to trigger it, or it takes maybe a few hours to process it, or even a few days or whatever, but something will, to file it, but something will trigger it. But the brain almost like it's been programmed, you know, whatever, through society or whatever, to be instantaneous, and the awareness or this work that way, you know, it works more of a slower process, but it's still processing it, if that's the right way to say it. I'm not quite sure.
Well, the self has it on immediate callback too. See, the idea is I could start asking you questions about what we talked about, and the answers would pop right into your head. I mean, they would just pop up that way that the self pops up, you know. I could ask a question about something we've talked about here recently, and the answer pops right up. It's just that the brain stores a lot more information than the self does, because the brain stores everything. All the inane, meaningless, pointless details it can pop stuff up, it pops up a completely different, you know, if you're thinking the color blue, there's a dozen or a million different color blue memories that can pop up into your head. But if you, the self, and you're present and you want a color blue for a particular purpose, the exact right thing is going to pop up because you're present and it's in there. That's kind of the thing you have to keep remembering. It's in there. Whatever you've listened to with me, it's in there. It's stored. That's one of the cool things in my contemplations recently I've come to understand, too, is that every single lifetime, every bit of awareness that led to evolution to a higher form, every lifetime, every awareness is in there. And that's kind of cool if you think about it. Right now we can't recall it because this brain is this body's brain. But as a sin, I'm guessing that every single lifetime you will have access to it. After all, it happened as part of creation, and it was recorded because you witnessed it. And that's kind of cool if you think about it. Some large chunk of eternity is likely going to be spent going over the eternity that you've already lived.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. It's just that our brain is, I guess, limited to, you know, the 33 years that we've learned to, or the 33 years that it's been in our body, but the self is, you know, like you were saying, limitless to, you know, the past, I guess, and the present, I guess.
There's a really key sentence right there, is that you have to remember, too, that the brain is experiencing something new with you actively thinking. And that might explain the retention loss, because I have better retention now than I did, I think, when I first started. But the implications of that, probably you can, that may be the blank times, Ahava. You've mentioned there's been times where you just go blank, and it's like you couldn't have a thought if you tried, you know. That may explain that, you know, this, the brain is experiencing this new thing. When you go presency, it's you. When you go passive, it's the brain. So every time you slip into the present moment, the brain is like just sitting there like, because it's used to being the person, it's used to being the personality, and suddenly there you are. It doesn't have access to its own, you know, dealings or what have you. That may explain why we have those fugues or blackouts or whatever you want to call them. They're not really blackouts because you're aware. But that may very well explain why those happen, because I don't have those anymore. I don't just sit and stare off into space. That doesn't happen to me. But I do remember that when I first started, there were a lot of times I'd be driving and just go out 2 hours later, kind of snap back in, and I'm still driving. I've driven 300-400 miles or something. Used to freak the hell out of my mother. but anyways, that might explain why that happens, because, you know, for the brain, this is something new. You actually being the one actively thinking. Because it is...
Yeah, that is interesting, and I do it more and more, and, you know, and sometimes, like, I'll sit there and somebody will be talking to me, and it's like, I can't even hear them. It's like, it's just like, my brain just checks out, and like, people talk to me or try to have a conversation with me, and it's like, I'm not even paying attention. Yeah, it's new and taking some adjustment, and I know that it frustrates the people around me because it's just I'm not there. And it is interesting, and I like that time where my mind goes blank and there's not the chatter.
See, that's one of those funny little ironies, is that that's not true, that you're not there. They're not there. you are there. And again, the brain would sit there and record all that foolishness that they're talking about, which is absolutely meaningless because they're asleep. The self is like immediately loses interest in someone prattling about their dream. That's not the self's reality. So you can get a real idea why. That's something that has happened to me over the years too, is I've really lost interest when people start talking about the blah, 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 dream, 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 emotion, 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 me, 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 you know, I want, I want, I want. It just tunes out. I'm aware that they're speaking. I'm aware they're in the room, but I have no interest in what they're saying because it's not real. And that's something that you'll find too. There'll be a... Especially where you guys are at, where you're jumping from one to the other, it's got to be really cool in a way. I wish I could remember some of it, because from one set of perceptions into a different set of perceptions at any given time during the day, and both perceptions, I mean, they're not, congruent the right word? I don't know. Anyways, it must be kind of weird to keep going from one set of perceptions to a different set of perceptions. Must be really interesting. Don't underestimate what is going on with us in the room. Don't underestimate it. You guys really are the cutting edge. If you don't believe me, all of you at some point have read and studied other religions and other philosophies or what have you. You've got to know on some level that you are going into uncharted territory. Not going into it, you're already in it. And don't know what we've created may not have a very big audience, but it is really, really cool to be witness of, to be a witness to this. This is billions of years of evolution manifesting right now. And I'm, for one, I'm just honored to even be a part of it, you know. It's pretty exciting times. While the rest are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, you know, we're experimenting and exploring and really dealing with a level of awareness that most of them probably are never going to experience in this lifetime. So please don't underestimate what we've done in the last 18 months. It's been pretty cool.
One thing that I want to talk about is since this process has happened, I feel more rooted and more stable. I'm not like the, you know, the chatterbox is, you know, going away, and I don't have that you know, feeling like I don't have a place, or feeling like I, you know, am just constantly in chaos. I do feel more feel more stable. My mind feels more stable. And it's something that I haven't had in a really long time. I'm actually enjoying where I'm at.
I don't think that you guys really have had enough experience in these other rooms. You know, like I said, for me it's been almost 10 years now to realize that in a very short period of time, you all are very different people. And for most of these other rooms, and even people, decade after decade goes by and there's no real significant change otherwise than the age of their body and the amount of useless information that they store between their ears. I mean, that's why I say be excited, because as far as I know, there's no other room where they're actually progressing, where they're actually, you know, evolving and progressing noticeably in ways that they are, you know, can see manifesting in their lives. For most of the rooms, it's just more and more words and information that they're storing. With you guys, it's experience that you're storing. And you can see how fast an experiential person evolves compared to a conceptual person that just agrees with other people's ideas. With you, these aren't ideas, these are experiences. This is real-time manifested phenomena that is actually shared with other people, and it repeats with them. So this is really special. What we're doing is really special.
I was going to say it's not just the Pal Talk rooms, but it's almost even, you know, the society itself isn't, you know, evolving. It's stuck. They're doing the same things over and over again. It's just it seems like, you know, with all the technology that we're progressing, but we're still, as a society, we're still stuck in the same rut, I guess, that we were, you know, hundreds or thousands of years ago. Yeah, us versus them, or, you know, even the government fighting and people revolting against it. It's not just the Pal Talk rooms, but, you know, it's just, you know, people in general, they don't really choose to evolve, I guess, even though on the surface it seems like we've evolved. We really haven't.
And two, is there any real incentive for them to evolve? I don't know. We can't know. You know, it's a speculation. Where would you guys be today if you hadn't met me 18 months, a year ago, 6 months ago, whatever? Where would you be in your awareness? There's no incentive for them. With you guys, you stumbled across an incentive, but there's no real incentive to evolve today. There's such, you all have seen it in your families, friends, coworkers, people online, your neighbors, whatever. There's such a huge undertow of passivity right now. It just amazes me that you can see how easy it is to rise above it once you start doing the work and waking up. It's really amazing.
One of the things that, you know, through this process, this is a difficult process, and you almost have to have, you know, a sense of bravery to even forge past this, because it's like cutting a new path. And, you know, this whole thing has been very, very, very difficult, and I'm having people in my life, you know, watch the difficulty I'm having, but it's to me, it's worth the amount of difficulty that I'm going through. But a lot of people see the difficulty that I'm going through, and it just kind of, like, you know, and they're like, how can you do this? And for me, doing this is, you know, it's just a natural progression of where I'm going. And it, even though it's been difficult, and when I met you, my life turned upside down and all of that, but I'm satisfied with where I'm at. And you know, and the, for me, the difficulty is it is worth it, you know. But like I said, you have to be brave enough to, you know, take that first step, you know, and to keep going. And you're so very helpful, you know, and this is really helpful.
This is where it gets really unfortunate that David is 6 or 5 hours ahead of us. So if you get tired, David, let us know, because we can close it up and start again on Monday, you know. Hour and a half that we've been in here, an hour or so anyways, it's been pretty cool. So the first day, to me, this is just a good indication of how good it can be. Yeah, I haven't heard from David. Let's hear him. And do you have a mic, James, or are you on the phone?
I'm fine. I am working tomorrow, so I will have to go to bed soon. I'll post a link. I have to the members page, and if you register on there, then I can make you a room administrator also, so that you can open and join DC in administering the room should it need it.
Software, but we'll see. And I would like to, if you don't get it and you're not here, I can do it for you. I am a member of this site, so just post a link. I added you to PalTalk Messenger, so you can reach me on there too.
Ah, yes, you're right. Yes. I'd forgotten about that. Yes. Incidentally, from the point of view of the recording I'm making, there's a lot of background hiss, Ahava, when you talk. I don't know if it's the same for everybody, but certainly from this end, I'm getting a lot of hiss.
See in this room how it felt here this evening. it feels really good. It feels good to be with you guys, to hear your voices. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there's no walls and masks up. Nobody's feeling, we're feeling very calm, and it is a sanctuary for, it is a sanctuary for growth, you know. So I'd like everybody to be able to open the room at any given time. Generally what will happen is at 5 p.m. or soon afterwards when Dave goes to bed, I'll close the room and I'll open up the music room again. And, you know, we can continue to type a conversation in there, but I'd like to get in the habit that when 5 o'clock rolls around, that's the end of it. And if there's anything that was kind of left unspoken, we take it up the next day. That way every day we've got something. We've got a rolling topic, you know. I think that's a better idea than me just sitting here preaching. This is what I was worried about. Are we going to have anything to talk about? Well, tonight we did. So, that's cool. We'll just keep a rolling topic going. And everybody, do not forget your homework assignment. Homework assignment. Make sure that you go in rooms. Make sure that you go in situations or what have you that makes your body uncomfortable so that you can experience that. The more and more and more you experience your body is separate, the more awake you become and the less it happens.
I think when you're not here, or the room is open or whatever, I think that it'd be a good idea to pick an essay and talk about that essay when you're not here, unless we have questions or a topic that we need to share.
Like I said, the main thing is to try to keep to that schedule of 3 to 5 p.m. That means you're going to have to get up an hour earlier, by the way. But let's try to keep that 3 to 5 p.m. And we're doing that for David, basically, because the rest of us, our hours are much different. So this is purely for David, David's benefit. But who better to benefit than David, seeing as though he does so much for us. So let's keep it to that. On the weekends, if we're, you know, if I have the room open on the weekends and it's early and we're all kind of in there and say, hey, why don't we go open up the other room? That's fine, too. I don't mind that at all. Or if, you know, there's three or four of us in the room, we're sitting there and there's nobody else coming in and we don't feel like playing music, but we'd like to talk, let's go open the other room. That is when, to me, it would pay to have somebody else recording. If you can, are you recording this now, David? Have you been recording it? Type, type, type.
Okay.
I was going to suggest that if you want, you can send me the MP3 file or whatever type. I don't know if any of my software is going to be able to open up whatever you send, but if you do send an MP3 file, then I can see whether I could do a post each day from them. I'd probably have to do it in the morning because obviously I can't listen to it when the music room's open or go over the music room. But I can see if I can do that for everybody. It's going to be 2 hours of listening is the only problem, and I don't really want to give up another 2 hours of my day, but I don't know if anybody else is up for it. I think if we all become aware being recorded, and I mean, it's not like we're going to misbehave anyways, but if we're all become aware that we're being recorded and the reason why we're being recorded is for anybody in the future that stumbles across the website for information, I don't see why we can't just post the audio file as a just, you know, a quick little header title, you know, the date 11/19/11 chat, and then just a, you know, quick one or two during the chat and then post a link to the, or post the file itself. Archive would be cool too, yeah. So this is only our first day, so as we come up with ideas, you know, write them down and bring them to the next one. I mean, can any of you see any point over the last hour or so that there was nothing said that wouldn't be able for other people to listen to? So I don't see any reason why it can't be posted as is, you know.
I think that it's fine. I think that we covered, you know, quite a bit in our discussion. I think that if people do listen to the recording, they'll have, you know, a solid idea of what we're talking about.
Right, and what the room is about, and maybe they'll be, hey, I'd like to sit in the next time you guys open up. It might be a good way of, you know, getting some new people involved.
A lot of people don't really, but some people don't like reading, and so if they had like an MP3 or a file to listen to, they might be more likely to just click on that and listen to it. Some people learn differently too. They're in the car yet, and some people also learn differently. So maybe the voice will, resonate with them more than and I think Ollie, another one is kind of off, you could listen to it at work, but Ollie would benefit from this too, because I think he knows what's going on, he just doesn't know how to process it, or he doesn't know exactly what's going on, I guess, but so...
watched it, and it was really interesting, the spin that they put on things, and one of the things in the movie that they talked about was being in the present moment, and it's beautiful. I watched it last night, and I just completely fell in love with it.
Don't be telling people that I read. But I mean, I read that, many, many years ago when it first came out. I think the 1980s, wasn't it, when it came out? I think I was on the horseback ride. I remember reading it, and it's a great story. So why don't we leave it at that? That way David can get to sleep. He's got to work tomorrow, and I will go ahead and open up the music room if you guys want. If you don't care one way or the other, I was planning on going to bed anyways. So if you want to do your own thing, that would be cool too. I could open it up later after I wake up. So you want it open, Curtis, because you can sit and babysit it while I sleep, you know. It's up to you whether you want music playing or not.
To, but I have a few things that I have to take care of. I've got to leave the computer for a little while. So, and DC, thank you for the room and the discussion. It was awesome.
And thank you for being a part of it. As Curtis would say, thanks for making the room what it is. I don't need it tonight, David. Since you're doing it, you know, do it at your own pace. That'd be my advice. I would just go ahead and we'll have to find some way of posting.